Our epistle lesson today is from 1 Corinthians 12, 12-27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members and one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson today is from John 17, verses 20-23. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Open our hearts and minds, we pray. Amen. Unity. Is that even possible anymore in our world or in the church? Is it possible to have unity when we do not agree? Socially, politically, theologically? Alan Hilton, in his great book, A House United, How the Church Can Save the World, makes a compelling argument for unity within and beyond the church. But first, the challenge. We live in some of the most polarized times ever, don't we? The Civil War saw intense division. So did the 60s and the Civil Rights era. But today, we're not just divided. People everywhere are throwing gasoline on the fire of our divisions. Prejudice and bigotry are rampant in this age of social media. And it's not just prejudice based on race or ethnicity or gender. It also includes social, political, and theological opinions as well. We are so deeply divided along the lines of left and right, liberal and conservative, urban and rural, evangelical, progressive. Society is divided, and so is the church. There are at least 33,000 Christian denominations in the world today, and 29 of those are some version of Presbyterian. Christians have been divided over social, political, and theological views since the beginning of the church. Take a look at the book of Acts. They argued and fought over including Gentiles, non-Jews, within the church and how to treat them if they did join. There were also heresies that divided the early church, like Marcion, who wanted to dump the Old Testament, or the Gnostics, who sought secret knowledge of Jesus. Christians have always been divided. The Catholic Church split when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses against the door of the church in Wittenberg in 1517. Prominent theologians took sides in the great fundamentalist-liberal divides of the late 1800s. Today, one of the biggest divides is between evangelical and progressive Christians. We did not invent division, but we sure have given it a lot of power. Why? Why is this going on? As human beings, we're naturally drawn to groups. We naturally differentiate between different kinds of people and flock to those who appear to be like us. And because we want to belong to a group, we learn to exclude those outside our group. This flocking to our group is called homophily. Homophily is the tendency to form strong social connections with people who share one's defining characteristics, like age, gender, ethnicity, etc. This is part of a vicious cycle, though, isn't it? It's not that groups are bad. We all need our groups. The church is a group of people following Jesus Christ. It's the divisiveness and the harsh rhetoric of hatred and prejudice and bigotry that causes us to grow further and further apart. That's what's so bad. Homophily can be a neutral thing, but we live in a world, especially a social media world, that takes that desire for groups and can twist it into something dark and hateful. And frankly, we forget that social media is just that. It's primarily opinions out there for social consumption. It's not necessarily fact or news or truth, and all too often it's hateful. Hilton says that we live in the age of angertainment, especially through media outlets on either side, like Fox News and MSNBC. These can fan the flames of suspicion and division and hatred of the other group. We also live in this Big Brother world. Notice how often Google or Facebook or other search engines actually populate your news feed with advertisements based on something you bought or maybe something you just searched for on the web? Kind of scary, isn't it? Well, these are real algorithms used to sell us things and put us into groups. In fact, the news that pops up on our computers and phones is also led by algorithms, so that whether we lean more to Fox or MSNBC, we tend to only see the news that matches what we already watch. So we just keep seeing only one perspective, which is pretty serious considering over 50% of Americans today say they get their news online. So good grief! What can we do? We may not have the answers, but I believe God sure does. What if we could take a step back from our side and stop looking at those who are different as the other or the enemy? What if we saw all people as our brothers and sisters on this earth? What if we considered everyone to be our neighbor, worthy of love, a beloved child of God? Well, how on earth would we do that? And how could we come to realize that we actually need each other? I want to believe we can go back to some basics from God, from Jesus, back to what Jesus is praying for in John 17 and what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12. Back to the greatest commandment of Matthew 22, to love God and neighbor as yourself. Where would all that take us? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, describing all of us as body parts in the one body of Christ, the church, each of us with a part to play in the community for the common good. Regardless of whether we are an eye, an ear, or a toe, everyone's gifts and talents are needed, and the diversity is actually what creates the unity. Let me say that again. The diversity in the body is what makes it one whole body. If everyone was an eye or an ear, there would be no body. Unity comes from the diversity, not without it. Think about that for a minute. That's kind of opposite of what we believe. We flock to groups and want to be with people who are just like us. But unity comes from diversity. Talk about a revolutionary thought for 2020. What if this is where Jesus' prayer comes in? Jesus prays that God would dwell in us as God dwells in him and he dwells in us. And why is that so important? Well, this God-infused life is like the kindling for the fire of unity. God and Jesus are one, and they give us the power to become one. And that unity, well, that's what can change the world. Jesus says in his prayer that being one is a powerful witness to the rest of the world. Remember what he prays? That they would be one so that the world will believe God sent him, and the world will know that God loves us just as God loves Jesus. Amazing. Think of that for a minute. What do people outside the church usually hate about the church? It's the hypocrisy and the fighting and the division. They think, why can't those Christians get along? Who wants to be a part of that? So finding unity can truly change the world and change people's minds about the church and Jesus Christ. Now that's a call to action for us if we want to share the good news all around us. Diversity is not bad. It is an asset, especially in the kingdom of God. Diversity brings gifts for the common good. It helps us live out our calling as Christians, and it can change the world. This is what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer each week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hilton points out that business and military leaders, they already know the power of diversity. Business leaders know that a diverse group of people working on a project together leads to more productivity and greater innovation. More minds, different minds, are so much better than one. When have you seen that at work? And military leaders, well, they've seen this principle at work for years. They've watched people from all different perspectives and backgrounds work together to solve problems, fight wars, and help one another. They don't put the Republicans in one group and the Democrats in another. They don't separate folks based on their backgrounds or ethnicity or even gender anymore, because everyone is required and expected to work together. And what they found is that this makes great teams. The diversity is an asset, a strength. The Bible agrees. Scripture is clear that we need each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Jesus and Paul are so passionate about unity because it is God's will for us, for our lives. In Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Now, we may not agree on much, but can we agree on that? That we are part of the one body of Christ? I know someone who says that the only thing that brings people together is a natural disaster or some great tragedy. And we do come together after disasters, don't we? But do we really need a disaster? What about leaning into our faith? What about looking to Jesus? If Jesus really dwells within us, don't we have the power to find true unity? Jesus himself shows us the way to unity. Do you realize how diverse his 12 disciples were? Jesus purposely chose religious and political opposites. Matthew was a tax collector. He would have been working alongside Rome. Simon was a zealot, a sworn enemy of the Roman Empire. Talk about opposites. If these two could serve on the same team, why can't we? Jesus also had women followers in Luke 8 in a time when women were just property. Jesus reached out to every kind of person, especially those who were marginalized and ostracized, like prostitutes, lepers, the sick, the demon-possessed. And he literally touched these people and ate with them. Jesus is our model for tolerance of our differences and an embrace of diversity and inclusion. Unity, tolerance, inclusion, it's not easy. Anyone who has ever gathered around a table of relatives with different political views knows that. But unity is possible, because with God, all things are possible. Just like we read in Luke 1:37. So how does this unity work in practical terms? It happens when we join together in mission or service alongside one another. It happens when we join in advocacy on behalf of others. One of the things I loved about the Open Table Community Cafe in Owosso was that we Presbyterians were working alongside Southern Baptists, Unitarians, Mormons, and more, because we all had the same goal: to feed people in need. A common mission can bring diverse people together in amazing ways. And you know the most powerful thing that unites us? Love. We can be united through our love of the whole body, our love for Jesus Christ. We can let our love be more powerful than our different opinions. Because God is love, this is possible. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel for you today. We need each other. We need our differences. We need our diversity. It's what makes us one. It's what Jesus prayed for and Paul lifted up. And it's what can change the world. And for this gift, all God's people say together, Amen.